Chapter 8, Endocrinology, Topic 3, Anterior Pituitary Disorders. In this section, we'll discuss a couple disorders of the anterior pituitary gland, starting with a prolactinoma. In terms of epidemiology, prolactinomas constitute a significant portion of all pituitary adenomas and are a leading cause of hyperprolactinemia. The condition predominantly affects women but can also occur in men. The pathophysiology of prolactinoma involves the autonomous secretion of prolactin from a pituitary adenoma. High levels of prolactin inhibit the release of gonadotropin-releasing hormone, which in turn reduces the secretion of follicle-stimulating hormone and luteinizing hormone. This hormonal imbalance can lead to various reproductive issues. The signs and symptoms of prolactinoma can vary significantly between genders. Common symptoms for both men and women include headaches and decreased libido. In women, prolactinoma often presents primarily with hormonal symptoms such as amenorrhea, absence of menstrual periods, galactorrhea, inappropriate lactation, infertility, and decreased bone density due to the estrogen deficiency. Men, on the other hand, are more likely to present with symptoms such as erectile dysfunction, gynecomastia, and symptoms related to mass effects such as visual disturbances like bite and poral hemianopsia, which is a loss of the outer halves of the visual field of both eyes. Diagnosing a prolactinoma involves a careful exclusion of other causes of elevated prolactin levels, such as pregnancy, assessed by beta-human chorionic gonadotropin levels, and thyroid dysfunction, evaluated through thyroid-stimulating hormone levels. An elevated serum prolactin level, typically greater than 200 nanograms per milliliter, is indicative of a prolactinoma. Magnetic resonance imaging of the pituitary is the preferred diagnostic imaging method to visualize the adenoma. Management of prolactinoma primarily involves pharmacological treatment with dopamine agonists, such as cabergoline and bromocriptine. These medications are effective in reducing prolactin levels and shrinking the tumor in the majority of cases. For those who are resistant to medical therapy or who cannot tolerate the side effects of dopamine agonists, transsphenoidal surgery to remove the tumor may be considered. In our discussion on hyperprolactinemia, it's important to consider that while prolactinomas are a common cause, there are various other factors that can lead to elevated levels of prolactin. Firstly, idiopathic hyperprolactinemia, where no identifiable cause of prolactin elevation is found, represents a significant number of cases. In these situations, the prolactin levels are elevated without any discernible underlying pathology. Another notable cause is pituitary stalk transection, which can occur due to a trauma or surgery. The transection interrupts the inhibitory dopaminergic tone on prolactin secretion from the hypothalamus, resulting in increased prolactin levels. Various medications can also elevate prolactin levels. These include dopamine antagonists such as methyldopa, typical antipsychotics, and metoclopramide. Other drugs like verapamil, a calcium channel blocker, opioids, and tricyclic antidepressants are known to increase prolactin secretion as well. Pregnancy naturally increases prolactin levels as the body prepares for lactation. The levels of prolactin rise progressively throughout pregnancy and are at their highest during the postpartum period. Chest wall stimulation, such as from surgical scars, shingles, or other trauma, can also lead to increased prolactin secretion. This is due to the neural reflexes stimulated by chest wall irritation or injury. Hypothyroidism is another endocrine disorder associated with elevated prolactin levels. The increased thyroid-releasing hormone, TRH, in hypothyroidism stimulates not only the secretion of thyroid-stimulating hormone, but also prolactin. Lastly, renal insufficiency can lead to hyperprolactinemia due to the decreased clearance of prolactin by the kidneys. In patients with renal disease, the accumulation of prolactin in the bloodstream can lead to elevated levels. Moving on, let's review acromegaly. This condition arises from the insidious autonomous secretion of growth hormone, usually due to a benign tumor on the pituitary gland. The pathophysiology of acromegaly involves the overproduction of growth hormone that leads to the enlargement of soft tissues, cartilage, bones, and visceral organs. Notably, if this excess of growth hormone occurs in children before the fusion of the epiphyseal plates in the bones, it results in gigantism, which is characterized by excessive growth of long bones and heightened stature. The key manifestations of acromegaly are varied and impact multiple systems in the body. Common symptoms include headaches and visual disturbances due to the mass effect of the pituitary tumor. Patients may experience noticeable changes in their physical appearance, such as macroglossia, a protuberant jaw, and widely spaced teeth. Other changes include coarse facial features and increased sizes of hats, rings, and shoes due to the enlargement of bones and soft tissues. Moreover, patients with acromegaly often develop carpal tunnel syndrome and early osteoarthritis due to the abnormal growth of cartilage and bone. Obstructive sleep apnea is another common complication because of the enlarged tissues in the airway. Other systemic effects include the development of a goiter, cardiomyopathy, hypertension, and increased risk of colonic polyps or cancer. Diabetes mellitus may also develop due to insulin resistance induced by the high levels of growth hormone. Diagnosing acromegaly involves several steps. Initially, elevated levels of insulin-like growth factor 1, which is a mediator of growth hormone effects, indicate the presence of excessive hormone activity. The glucose suppression test is crucial for diagnosis. Normally, an oral glucose load suppresses growth hormone levels, but in acromegaly, this suppression does not occur, indicating autonomous growth hormone secretion. Magnetic resonance imaging of the pituitary gland is used to visualize and assess the size and extent of the adenoma causing the overproduction of growth hormone. Management of acromegaly is focused on reducing the excessive secretion of growth hormone and alleviating the symptoms. Surgical removal of the pituitary tumor through a transsphenoidal approach is often the first line of treatment. Medically, somatostatin analogs such as octreotide and lanreotide are used to suppress growth hormone secretion. Additionally, cabergoline, a dopamine agonist, and pegvisomant, a growth hormone receptor antagonist, are other therapeutic options used to control hormone levels and mitigate symptoms.